Intercounty travel looks set to return on the 10th of May as part of a sweeping easing of COVID restrictions. The Cabinet is due to meet this afternoon to sign off on plans to reopen most of the country for this summer. Michael McNamara, Independent TD for County Clare, joins me on the line. Michael McNamara, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
We all want to get out and about and get around our country and go visit relatives and all of that. Is this happening, I wonder, a small bit too quickly? It has come as a bit of a surprise that it's coming so soon and it's so widespread.
Yeah, but sure, it's happening already, Pat. I mean, if you look out, you know, if you see what's happening around the county and around the country, I mean, people are out and about, people are travelling already. So, I mean, you know, unless you want to make a complete ass of the law, then I think, you know, it needs to reflect at the very least what people are already doing and people are out and about. And, I mean, you know, we've been told since last October that outdoor activity and meeting outdoors was safe, are safer. I mean, you know, nothing is 100% safe in life. I mean, and that's especially so during a pandemic. But that, you know, unlike at Christmas, for example, or unlike even at Halloween, people can now meet outdoors, people can meet their friends outdoors, and we're told that that's safer. So, I mean, I think it's good that the government and NPHET are recognising that and bringing, I suppose, the law into line with what people are already doing.
And it would appear that we didn't have any significant backlash from the Easter break either. I wonder, is that part of the health professionals and the government's thinking that, look, it's going on anyway and it appears to be relatively safe. Do you think that's part of the thinking?
I have no idea what the health professionals are thinking, other than that they're clearly thinking very cautiously and have been much more cautious than in... well, either in the advice that they're giving or how the government have interpreted that advice than practically any other country in Europe at the moment. And I mean, that is having a profound effect, not just on our economy, but it is having a huge effect on that. And, you know, we don't really know where we're at, I think, economically. Hopefully we'll find out in the next weeks to months, as in how many companies, how many shops, how many businesses will actually reopen, because I think there will be a fair share of businesses that won't reopen. But it's also having a profound effect on our society and on health. I mean, you know, if you talk to doctors, they're run off their feet with people who are presenting now with ailments and illnesses that they should have presented with weeks and months ago, but were afraid to do so.
A lot of this is coming very quickly. Do you know, apart from coming too quickly, do you think that there should be a wider reopening of the economy and of social life here as well? Or are we still being too cautious, which seems to be a bit of a theme with the government in the past 6 or 8 months, over cautiousness?
Well, it has been, because, I mean, you know, I think we were certainly overcautious last summer, and then perhaps we threw all caution to the wind. Or did we? I mean, at Christmas, that's the accusation that's levelled at government and at the population, but at the same time, there was no flu. So, I mean, how was the flu, how did society, or how did the flu stop being transmitted if people were meeting up with such wild abandon as sort of the allegations would suggest? I mean, I think people were quite cautious at Christmas, maybe not as cautious as they had been before, and certainly perhaps not as cautious as they should have been during a pandemic, but nevertheless, compared to any other Christmas, I think people were very restrained. I think some of the rules that were adopted, though, were quite silly, in that, you know, this €9 meal, which meant that there were a very limited number of bars open. So for those who did want to go out, they were very limited in their choice. So that meant that people were funneled into a smaller number of bars. It does seem to be suggested that is being abandoned. And I think that's a good idea, because, you know, the idea that you'll open up sort of one quarter of the bars and that'll be safe because people, you know, increasingly that small proportion of bars that are open will be have more people in them, does seem to be, it's good that they're moving away from that. It's something that I've called for more than 12 months now, and the idea that people will be able to serve outdoors in circumstances where we're told outdoors is safer is welcome. And it was in circumstances where right across Europe now, bars, cafes, terraces, etc. are open, and were open throughout last summer when Ireland adopted a unique and different different approach, which unfortunately ultimately didn't lead to any better results than other countries across Europe.
Of course, the government will always defend its overcautiousness. In previous lockdowns, you've always called for a quicker reopening of society. Is May?
I did, but I didn't. I, with the exception of November, December, when it became apparent to me that this whole idea of let's save Christmas was creating a pent-up demand that was going to be quite dangerous, and it proved so. And in circumstances where, of course, people, when they did open up, were going to have to congregate indoors because of the weather. So, you know, I think it's not about faster or slower, it's about what's safe. And I think a lot of the, up to now, I think we've been, we haven't looked at, like, I think we have to let society function and we have to let the economy function in a way that's safe, rather than, you know, it's not about stopping everything functioning, it's about stopping what's dangerous functioning. And we need to be very clear about what's safe and what's dangerous, and let whatever is safe happen. You know, but also at some point we have to stop regulating society in the way that we're doing now, because it's not feasible, it's not normal to have Gardaí, and I can't imagine that they enjoy this, and I'm not suggesting they do in any way, but being sent in to stop masses occurring, I mean, that's not healthy in any society, to have Gardaí checkpoints asking everybody where they're going and where they're coming from. I mean, that's not, and I don't think that the Gardaí didn't want these powers that were foisted on them. They're following orders, they're doing what the government are telling them to do, but it's not healthy in a society to have that level of control.
If we open too quickly, of course, this is the big issue that many people will be raising or concerned about. Michael Vaughan, the hotelier, I'm sure you know Michael, was on the programme yesterday, and he's obviously very concerned that if we do open too quickly, it could be, and we heard somebody else on the news this morning saying the same thing, if we open too quickly, it could be the final nail in the coffin if we have to lock down again. Is June too soon, I wonder, for the likes of hospitality and hotels and other organisations? Well, other businesses, rather.
You know, at the moment we have this strange construct where the government are borrowing money to pay people not to pay healthy people not to work in sectors where we need people to be working. Like, at the moment, all of the money that was put aside for COVID spending in 2021 is spent already, according to the headlines in one of the Sunday papers last week. Heather Humphreys, the Minister for Social Protection, is looking for an extra 4 billion euros. I mean, there wasn't 4 million euros available to build a wing of a hospital a couple of years ago. Now suddenly 4 billion euros is an abstract figure. I mean, these are vast sums of money that are going to place huge pressure. We have the highest debt in per capita in the European Union, the highest rise in debt per capita in the European Union over the past 12 months. I mean, bankruptcy, a national bankruptcy, imposes its own impact on a health system and life expectancy and the services that can be provided. And I would worry that we're heading in that direction unless we have get society and our economy functioning at some time soon. So it's not, I don't think you can say that there's a risk on one side and there's no risk on the other. I mean, there's a huge risk that that our economy is heading in a very unsustainable direction very quickly.
On the pup and on the government effectively, as you say, paying people not to work, particularly those who would have been employed in sectors where people are needed now, should the POP be scrapped for those people? It's not been enforced, it's not been monitored properly, presumably, because if there's work in the sector for which you would normally associate yourself, you should be in that sector, you should be working.
Well, I mean, the PUP clearly can't be scrapped while the government are stopping businesses from functioning. I mean, that's, I think, quite clear. And I mean, I think, you know, undoubtedly the social welfare bill is going to be very big because of the impact that COVID-19 is going to have in the economy, and it is going to have a huge impact regardless of government restrictions. But I think the government restrictions have made that worse and have made the bill far higher in Ireland than it needed to be, or than the bill has been in other countries, and the levels of borrowing have been far higher per capita. They've only been looked sustainable relative to our GDP, but of course that in turn is going to take a huge hit because of the approach being taken by the new American administration, and there's looking at developing an OECD, a new OECD tax scheme, so that we can't effectively fund our country by eating other people's lunches indefinitely.
What do you say to a comment made by Michael Vaughan on the programme yesterday, which didn't apply to his business, but he was concerned that the POP was actually making it more difficult for businesses to get workers in. Now, Michael was making the point that he pays well above or above the minimum wage in his business, but other businesses who might not be able to do the same thing. People are saying to themselves, I'm on the pup, why should I go back to work?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that expressed by various employers in various sectors over the past few months. But, you know, as I say, we have this very artificial and dangerous government intervention in the economy. I mean, everything has been completely artificial for the past 12 months, and we're going to have to go back to normality at some point, and we're going to have to figure out where are we at. I mean, what is the level? I mean, it's a 60% youth unemployment at the moment. I mean, that's unprecedented. In previous times, we did have high youth unemployment, but young people were at least able to immigrate. It was a terrible indictment of our state that young people had to immigrate to get work, but at least they were able to go. That's not going to be the case now. So we need to know what businesses are actually functioning, what level of employment we will have, and see what the real economy looks like, because we have simply no idea at the moment what reality looks like. I mean, various businesses that have been shut down are being very heavily subvented. That's necessary, I suppose. If government are going to shut down businesses, they're going to have to protect the livelihoods of people. But there will come a time, and I think quite soon, when we're going to have to see what does reality look like.
People will have to, I presume, assess their own particular situations and get back to work as soon as they can. The pub can't, of course, last forever, but the Taoiseach has said he won't leave people high and dry. There will be people out there, though, Michael McNamara, who will be very concerned about their own future and whether they will ever get back to work. So the PPP or the PUP could be there for some time yet.
Well, I mean, you know, whatever is there, there is going to be a very heavy, a very large social welfare bill. And I mean, I'm not suggesting otherwise. But I mean, we're going to have to figure out what the reality is and what challenges we face, rather than this sort of... I mean, at the moment, we've lived in this kind of cloud nine for the past 12 months that, you know, we can have... very few people working in the economy, and everybody, or not everybody, but like mortgages on the mortgage holiday that the banks are going to bring to a close soon, and that all of these realities are going to have to kick in at some point, and we're going to have to figure out. And you know, it's not that I welcome this happening, but it is inevitable at some point, and the longer we put it off, the worse it's going to be. It's a bit like I served as a government backbencher and supported a government through pretty horrendous times from 11 to 16, and I know what it's like to have to close a deficit of 2 or 3 or 4 billion euros, and we're borrowing 4 billion euros to supplement our social welfare budget this year alone now. So, you know, there is going to be a reckoning, and anybody who suggests otherwise, I think, is simply not telling people the truth. And you know, you could portray, and I have been portrayed as extreme right wing for saying this, but the reality is that it is those who rely on, say, state services, and those who rely on social welfare and pensioners, who often suffer most when deficits have to be cut, mm-hmm. and when money has to be found. And that's what I'm afraid of, and that's what I've been afraid of for a very long time.
We are facing a big bill, and we'll probably be paying for this for years, but at what point do you think we will have to cut our losses, or at least cut the pup, and just suffer after that?
Well, I suppose when society is allowed to fully open up, and when the economy is allowed to fully open up, and I would have thought that has to be sooner rather than later. And I'm not advocating that people take silly risks, not at all. People need to be cautious, and I don't expect, unfortunately, that COVID-19 is going to disappear, that it's going to be gone. We're going to wake up some morning and it's suddenly going to be gone. Unfortunately, a lot of experts are suggesting that we're going to have to learn to live with this in the same way that we have to learn to live with flu. And I'm not suggesting that it's only the same as flu, or that it's no more dangerous than the flu. I'm not saying that, but that's what they're saying, that it is endemic, and it is going to come and go in waves as the flu does for the foreseeable future, and we're going to have to learn to live with it.
Are you disappointed that there is still no clarity? And of course, clarity has been the bane of most people, most businesses' lives over the past 10 or 12 months. No clarity in relation to hotels and B&B, guest houses and so forth, because there are many businesses who would be depending on some sort of a staycation home market this year just to survive, just to be able to open their doors next year, hopefully.
Can you bear with me just for one second, Ben?
Yes. That's Michael McNamara speaking to us this morning.
Go ahead.
Just in relation to B&Bs and hotels and so forth, a lack of clarity, and a lot of those will close or could close and are worried that they mightn't be able to open their doors next year. Are you disappointed that there's still a serious lack of clarity in relation to their future this summer?
Well, I mean, I do think that there's a bit of clarity being brought to bear. I mean, government cabinet ministers seem to be suggesting that they will be opening from the beginning of June. That's at least what's been leaked or hinted at by cabinet ministers. So, I mean, I do think that there's increasing clarity being brought to bear with regard to all sectors of the economy.
Okay,
and I welcome that.
Yeah, it just seems to be a bit slow, of course. Michael Vaughan was making a point yesterday. It could take him about 6 weeks of a lead-in to be prepared for a reopening. Michael McNamara, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, indeed. Really sorry about that.
No bother. Independent TD for Clare, Michael McNamara.